not generally wired to want to share their men or husbands with other people. Just how many know that it doesn't come naturally to a lady? Ladies don't like it when a whole lot of other people also like their husband. You know, when a lot of people like the one you like, ladies don't like that. They don't do well with that. Do you understand? Yeah, just like brothers don't do too well when they see ladies in very short skirts, and you know, it's a problem for us. We can't handle it. It's a bit much. It's a bit much for a brother. You see what I'm saying? So, ladies also similarly, they don't like it. It's not natural to a lady that the one I like, everybody also likes. You know, recently I met a guy. You wouldn't believe it. I met him on, this is just last week, I met him on a ferry that was crossing from Suriname to Guyana. You know, so small, there's a river there. It's called something. And this guy was on it, and he had a motorbike, you know. And when I looked at the motorbike, it had a United States New Hampshire plate on it. Yeah. So I asked him, what is this about? And he explained that he bought his motorbike. He's from Spain. And he bought his motorbike from New Hampshire. He flew from Spain to New Hampshire, bought a motorbike, and started riding from New Hampshire. And rode from New Hampshire all the way down to California. And then went down into Mexico, Guatemala, all the way down there. And when we met him, he was still going on. He's going to Venezuela. He has ridden 57,000 miles since he bought that motorbike, and it's just going down all the way there, you know. But one of the questions I asked him anyway is, so do you have a wife? Because he has done this trip. He's been riding. He's ridden from Spain to Africa. Even when I told him I'm from Ghana, he said, oh, Ghana, Accra. I've been there before. You know. So he told us that he had gone all the way down there. So I asked him, do you have a wife? He said, well, he has a lady. He said he has a girlfriend, you know. Then he said, the ladies are crazy in every country. Then he said, three things the ladies want. And I asked him, what are the three things? He said, number one, he said money. Then number two, he said babies. Then he said number three, that is you, the man. Sit down right here. Don't go anywhere. Sit down right here. Hallelujah. So it is not natural that a lady would share a husband with everybody. So when you find a pastor's wife who is able to release her husband, are you listening to me? Who is able to release her husband to be everything he is to all of you, I think you have met a special lady. Amen. Met a special lady who is defying the norms and making it possible for you to have a good pastor who cares about you, who talks to you in the night. You know, a lot of men, they have a curfew on their phone. You know, after 10 p.m., you can't call them. You can't be talking to them. Their wife will take the phone and just put it somewhere. Yeah, a lot of men have curfew. At a certain time, you are talking to somebody, you say, who are you talking to? Yeah. What? Jake. Jake from State Farm. Yeah. Yeah. Jake from State Farm. Hallelujah. So in that ad, they are showing us the reality. So when you have a pastor you can call at any time, he'll talk to you at any time, just spend any amount of time just to speak with you, to encourage you, to share with you, you should know that there is somebody who has made that possible. Amen. Somebody loves you. Somebody cares about you. And that person has released him for you. And so when you show appreciation to your pastor, you must always remember his wife also. Amen. Not just, don't say that he's the pastor, as for her, who is she? You must always, always love your pastor and love his wife also. And that will be a blessing to you. One day when you become a pastor's wife, you will also be loved. Amen. Because you have sown the seed. Hallelujah. So put your hands together properly for Lady Pastor Dorcas. Amen. Wow. It's a blessing. Amen. All right. Now, tonight I want to continue sharing with you, you know, as I've been sharing. And I really want to talk to you from my heart. Do you understand? Because I feel that there are very serious issues that affect us as Christians. And if we are not careful, we may travel the road of Christianity and meet the Lord and find out that he is not happy with us at all. Hallelujah. So as we have come to the season of Easter again, you know, they were singing that beautiful song, Crucified, Laid Behind a Stone. It says, above all something, something, you know, above a lot of things. But then the chorus says, crucified, he was crucified, laid behind a stone. He lived, and then what? To die, right? He lived to die, and what? Rejected and alone, like a rose. And then what? Trampled on the ground. He took the fall, and then what? And he thought of you above all. Hallelujah. You see, when you are singing such words, you really have to be careful. And even when you are not the one singing it, but it's being sung to you. Because sometimes it's sung to you because you can't sing it. So it's being sung to you. You have to really think deeply about such a song. Hallelujah. It says, trampled on the ground, isn't it? Like a rose. He lived to die, rejected, and alone. See, why did Christ do all these things? What is all of this for? Hallelujah. What is all of this for? And so when we talk about serving God, do you see? We are attempting, or what I am trying to do, is to turn our hearts and try to draw our attention to the real thing. Why did Jesus do all these things? And as he has done them for you, what are you doing, or what is the appropriate response from you for whom such a thing has been done to the one who did it for you? Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you? It's a shame that many Christians have not responded appropriately to the love that Christ has shown them. Amen. You see the words, it says, and you thought of me above all. As he was doing all, crucified, laid behind a stone, he lived to die, rejected and alone. I mean, have you felt rejected before? Most of us don't like the feeling of rejection. Because, and I don't think I know anyone who really enjoys being rejected. Do you understand? Yeah, rejection is a very painful thing. That is not to be chosen. Not to be chosen always translates into rejection. You know, whether it is a job, you interview for a job, and then they write to you and they tell you that, you know, what do they tell people? Thank you for applying. They are thanking you for applying. As though applying... Do you see? Thank you for applying. And then they tell you that at this point they have taken their decision and you know it's not you. You don't even feel like continuing the letter. You just put it somewhere. And it hurts. It's painful. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anytime you are not chosen, sometimes you see, let's say, two sisters, three sisters, and then both of three of them, you know, all have their sights on this one brother who seems to be eligible and who seems to be in the arena of looking for a beloved, and then he eventually chooses one. Do you see? And then when he chooses the one, then the others feel, you know, they feel sad and they feel, you know, let down in a way, and sometimes they don't even feel like coming to church anymore. They don't want to be where that brother is because they can't stand, you know, the contrast. I mean, if it means, what does it mean? Hey, I mean, what does it mean? You see what I'm saying? What does it mean? I mean, what does she have that I don't have? I mean, what? You see? And then your whole, I mean, your mind is not working properly. And so you see that you are not doing very well in an environment where both the brother and his choice exist. You see? So you feel like going to a place where you will not see such people at all. That is how it feels to be rejected. It's a very painful thing. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a very painful thing when your best effort is not considered by others. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a very painful thing when you've done your best and you are not selected because of your accent. Or you are not selected because of your skin color. You see, things that you can't do anything about. When you are not selected for those reasons, it really hurts. Hallelujah. But that's what we are just casually singing. Do you see? Rejected and alone, like, and we add a dance, like a rose trampled on the ground. Do you know what you are saying? I mean, and what for what? What is the purpose of the rejection that he endured because of you and I? Because he said he was doing it because he thought of us. Do you understand? So the next question becomes, are you responding appropriately for the love that has been shown you and for the extent to which Christ has gone to redeem you? If it was you, if this was because of you, are you responding appropriately to the love that has been shown you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is where we find a lot of us Christians are letting the Lord down. Hallelujah. A lot of us Christians are not responding appropriately to the love that has been shown us. Rather, we have turned the whole Christian experience into something else. We have turned the whole Christian experience into God just meeting our needs. You know, just giving him an endless shopping list, you know, which is just, even the things that are satisfied, even the things that the Lord gives us are quickly replaced by something else. Can you imagine someone has a shopping list? Anytime you cross out one, he writes another one. That is how we are. And our Christian experience is being reduced to that. Hallelujah. So what we are talking about, serving God, I believe we are talking about an appropriate response. That means responding appropriately to the love that has been shown to you. To the effect of the blood that was shed to wash you, you know, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? That is what we are talking about. Can I have an amen? Amen. And the first day, I was explaining to you that there is a difference between those who serve the Lord and those who don't. And yesterday, we talked about three elements we must put in our service to the Lord. Hallelujah. Three elements we must bring in as we serve the Lord, one of them is to do it joyfully. And then another one is to do it consistently. Hallelujah. To be consistent in our service of the Lord is not too much. It's not too much. It's not too much. If that song is about you, then Christ has a right to expect that you be consistent. You be consistent. If he did you this favor, he has a right to expect consistency from you in your service of the Lord. Hallelujah. In season and out of season, even when it hurts, which brings us to the third point, which is that we serve him in humility of mind and even in tears and temptations. As we go through difficult times and trials in our lives, we must not hang our uniform and give up serving the Lord, but that we must continue and continue to serve him. Hallelujah. Now, tonight I'm continuing with what it means to serve the Lord. What does it mean? What does it mean to serve the Lord? Hallelujah. Because if we keep saying serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, you know, it may be that some people don't even understand it. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to serve the Lord? Serving the Lord means a number of things. Hallelujah. It means a number of things. But chief among them, you know, one of the meanings of serving the Lord, it means to devote your efforts to the Lord. To devote your efforts to the Lord. Hallelujah. That means to give of yourself to him. Hallelujah. And to be a church person. To be a church person. You must be a known church person. Hallelujah. To give of your efforts to the Lord. A lot of us give our efforts to so many things. We give our efforts to associations. We give our efforts to, you know, old school associations and alumni. Do you see? We give our efforts to so many different clubs and different gatherings of people from our countries, from our tribes, and so on and so forth. You know, but I want to suggest to you tonight. See, what the way I think often is this: that there are a lot of things which, if I don't do, not that the thing is wrong. You see, it's not about whether it's right or wrong. But this is how I think. That even if the thing is good to do, if I don't do it, there are a whole lot of other people who will do it. Do you see what I'm saying? But there are some things that if I don't do, nobody else will do it. Or very few people are devoted to doing such things. You think about it. If you decide not to be the organizing secretary of Okwewu Students of Bay Area Okwewu Citizens Association, that is why those things, they often have elections. Do you know why they have elections? Elections because there's more than one person who wants to be it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. There's more than one person who is interested in it. There's more than one person who feels he's eligible. In fact, some people even feel that, look, by virtue of the fact that he has been here, I mean, this whole Bay Area, I'm the first person from my village who arrived here. You get it? Says you, if nothing at all, you need to show me some respect. That I came here out of all the people who come from my village in Nigeria, or my village in Congo, or my village in Cameroon, out of all the people, I came first. Do you understand? If this person, when he came, he lodged with me. That one, when he came, I picked him from the airport. This one was renting a room in my house. And that one, tell me how? So if right now you're looking for chairman or organizing secretary, why don't you, or even the chief, should it not naturally come to me? Yeah. And then it becomes a subject of contention, and then you see them campaigning and so on and so forth. So listen, I'm not talking about, is it right, is it wrong? No, because I'm sure there must be some good reason. And all these associations and so on exist for a good reason. I mean, when you fall into a situation where you need their help or something like that. You will appreciate the existence of such an organization. Are you getting what I'm saying? But my point is that for something that there are so many people who are willing to do it, do you understand? And another thing which is important and perhaps more important, not perhaps, truly more important. What could be more important than the work of the reason why Jesus died? I mean, tomorrow you're all going to be wearing your black clothes and red clothes and so on. And then on Sunday you're going to wear your victory white. And then come and the choir is going to sing again. Do you see what I'm saying? Rejected and alone. I mean, what is the point? Why did Christ have to do all this? And how does this compare with the purpose for which maybe some other association or something like that exists? Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are people who will give themselves to that. But you must give yourself to the higher purpose and to the higher cause. Because that is the one that lacks people. That is the one. Have you seen where they're having elections who have shepherds? No elections for shepherds. Rather, people are being appointed as shepherds and they are getting upset. Yeah. So why have you made me a shepherd? Have I said I'm a shepherd? That is what we have rather in the church. Hallelujah. So I will rather give myself to the work that is experiencing a shortage. And I think that it is an appropriate response to someone who has experienced the kind of love we are singing about tonight. Can I have an amen? How many understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. So if you're talking about Easter, you are talking about the shedding of the blood. Well, herein lies the purpose of the shedding of the blood. The shedding of the blood was a payment. Do you see? It was a payment to be able to make it possible for the church to be acquired. Hallelujah. The shedding of the blood was the payment, you know, that allows Christ to have the church. Hallelujah. And so he's talking to someone and says, listen, you need to pay attention to yourself and to pay attention to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers because he purchased them with his blood. The shedding of the blood was to purchase us and to purchase the believers and to purchase us from sin. Hallelujah. And he says that, you know, because that the blood has been shed and the people have been purchased, you know, we need to take oversight over them. Hallelujah. So to be serving God means to devote your efforts to God. Whatever you have, energy, time, connections, your car, your intelligence, you know, whatever you have, devote it to God. Give it to God because he gave his life for you. He gave everything for you. So what are you also giving to him? Hallelujah. Give yourself to God instead of lining up and trying to duplicate something that has so many people who want to do it. Do you understand? And even quarrel over it and end up having enemies. You see, there are people in this Bay Area who don't talk to other people because people voted over for the other person instead of them. Instead of joining this type of bickering, why don't you turn your attention towards Christ and towards the purpose for which he died. Do you understand? And devote yourself to it. Can I have an amen? Amen. And give yourself to it. I mean, at least you found a cause that is lacking patronage. A cause that doesn't have people standing up for it. And begin to rise up and do that for the Lord. And the Lord will bless you. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the other meaning of serving the Lord, what it means to serve the Lord. The second one, what it means to serve the Lord, is to perform a duty for the Lord. To perform a duty for the Lord. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, I know you are a member. Just say, I know you are a member. Then say, congratulations. Then ask your neighbor, say, but now, what duty are you performing for the Lord? Hallelujah. What duty are you performing for the Lord? What is your work for the Lord? Hallelujah. Every Christian, everyone who has benefited from the shedding of the blood must perform a duty for the one who shed his blood for them. Hallelujah. Everyone who has benefited from the blood that was shed must and owes a duty to the one who shed his blood for us. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we must all perform a duty. There must be a specific duty that you perform for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Every one of us must be able to name one thing we do and say, this is what I do for the Lord. Amen. Very, very specific, in a very unambiguous way, you know. Just don't add yourself to some group where you disappear within the group. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. I'm talking about having a distinct duty that you perform. I do this just for God. Hallelujah. We are talking about responding appropriately. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die. What? Rejected and alone. For which reason? You've gone to wear blue. You see, you put on all these things. It's great. But it's not a song. It's not a song. We are talking about someone's pain. Do you understand? We are talking about someone's pain. And what is your appropriate response to that pain? Hallelujah. You can perform a duty for the Lord. You can decide that in this church, I'm not just going to come and go, but here is my duty. Define the duty. Because sometimes when you don't define the duty, you are very confused. You think you are doing something, but you are not. Have you seen sometimes you can ask a group of people to move a table, and you see that there are some people who are moving the same table, and then some people are also moving the same table, and they are just trolling. How can it be that we all are moving the table and some are sweating, moving the same table, and then others claim to be moving the same table, but they are actually even talking on the phone as they are moving the table? Because you always have people who are coming along, but who are just riding and are not lifting anything. Hallelujah. That is why you must define your job. Can I have an amen? Amen? You must define your duty. You must ask yourself, what do I do for the Lord? What do I do? What is my specific job? And define it. And satisfy yourself that whatever you're doing for the Lord is an appropriate response for what the Lord has done for you. Say amen. Amen. Number three, it means to contribute to God's purpose. Hallelujah. It means to contribute to God's purpose. Hallelujah. To contribute, to make a contribution to God's cause. To contribute whatever you have. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, and he was preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women. Thank God for women. Hallelujah. See, when the choir was singing, I observed it. There were only women. Yeah, from here all the way to here, everybody was a woman. Well, unless there was a brother who was wearing one of those skirts, I'm not sure. But as far as my eyes were concerned, I took notice that everybody singing here was a woman. Thank God for women. If it wasn't for women, the work of God will stall. If the work of God was just up to men, it will stall. Yeah. Because women, we like to be big. Do you understand? In every other sphere, except for in the house of God. That is how we are. I mean, Harry, is it not true? It's just the way we are. Do you understand? You know, somebody was telling me, because I went to visit a certain church and it was all full of women. It was like, we're having daughter, you can make it to conference. Meanwhile, it was just normal church. And the people in the place were explaining to me that in their society, it is viewed as a weak thing for a man to go to church. It's like, if you're a man and you go to church, you are weak. See, the devil has a way of twisting the facts and twisting the things and causing people. I mean, if you're a man and you have children with so many people all over the place, there's nothing wrong with it. If you're a man and you are smoking and drinking and can't even find your way to your house, it's not a problem. If you're a man and you are robbing people and causing confusion, that seems to be okay. I mean, smoke and roast your brains and your face and your eyes and everything, that seems to be okay. But come to church and sing for the Lord. That looks like a weak thing that men are not supposed to do. Hallelujah. But I see God giving birth to a new breed of men. Men who are not ashamed to serve the Lord. Men who are not ashamed to sing for him, to preach for him, to encourage other people for him. Yes, and those are real men. Real men are not afraid to go to church. Real men believe in Jesus. Real men work for God. Real men are not ashamed to let people know that they serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, these women, they were healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Do you understand? And then it says, and Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Hey, seven terrible devils were in this woman. You know, but they went out of her. And the next verse, verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza. That means people's wives also. It means the men must allow their wives also to serve the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If your wife is serving the Lord, it doesn't mean she's the pastor's girlfriend. I mean, look at the pastor. He has his wife. I mean, look, if you've had a wife before, you know that truly you can't have more than one. The people who have more than one is because they are part-time, 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 part-time. Yeah, every one of them is part-time. But you can't have full-time woman plus another one. You go crazy. Hallelujah. So your pastor has a wife. It's enough. He's not looking for another girlfriend. Do you understand? But what I've seen, as you see here, there are women whose hearts God touches. And who seem to have an extra interest in the work of God and in the things of God. And they want to help the work of God. And they want to help the man of God. Look at them. It says, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And she was helping Jesus Christ. And Susanna and many others, do you see, which ministered unto him out of their substance. Hallelujah. These people are apart from the 12. Look at verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Verse 1. He says, it came to pass after he went through every city and so on. Then you see the last line of verse 1. It says, and the 12 were with him. So the 12 you know, main guys, the disciples, they were there. But in addition, he says certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities also ministered to them. Hallelujah. So those of you women who have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, do you understand? You've been healed since you started serving the Lord. You have, your life has gotten better. You know, because, you know, sometimes you do not know that the thing that is worrying you is actually an evil spirit. This unexplained depression, do you understand? Unexplained sadness that comes over you. You know, recently I went to a certain place and we were having a meeting. There was a lady, she was there the night before. And then the next morning we said we were having another meeting. And she didn't show up. So later on I saw her in the day and I asked her, but we all agreed you were supposed to come to the meeting in the morning. Where were you? Then she just said, you know. And I asked her, what does that mean? Then she was explaining. She said, I have this thing that comes over me. You know, I have this thing that comes over me. I wake up in the morning and I just get dressed. And as I'm ready to go, this thing just comes over me. Then suddenly, I don't feel like going. I just feel like staying in the house and just eating a lot. And just being there. It's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. And these people, they had all kinds of evil spirits. One woman had seven of them. Seven different devils were in her. Do you understand? And then some other things are also not evil spirits. They are just infirmities. An infirmity is like a weakness. It's a place where you limp. Do you see what I'm saying? And sometimes you can have a weakness, let's say like insecurity. Do you see? Like a low self-esteem. Do you understand? It's like a gap, a hole in your soul. Do you see? That keeps, you know, you limping all the time and keeps creating a problem for you. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes when you've not been shown love, everybody has taken advantage of you and you haven't been shown love, you sort of develop a guardedness. You see, your posture is like that. Do you see? Now, if you speak to a lady who is postured like this, do you see? It's like she won't stand that way, but mentally she's postured like that. You see? Even if you ask her a question, how are you? She'll ask why. It's like, why do you want to know how I am? Do you understand? You see that she's in defense mode. Now, that's not a demon. It is an infirmity. And Jesus, he healed them of the spirits and infirmity. And what was the appropriate response? After the women had been healed of the spirit, they said, I don't feel jealous anymore. I don't feel that problem I had anymore. That depression is gone. I don't wake up in the morning, in the middle of the night, crying. I don't stand in front of the mirror, ripping myself apart anymore. Somehow, I have begun to like myself. So I didn't used to like myself, but I've started to like myself. All those things are gone. Now, what is the appropriate response for someone who has been healed of the spirits and healed of the infirmity? These people said, look, since he healed us, and since the spirits are gone, since the infirmity no longer controls me, I'm going to follow the man and I'll serve him. I'm going to do something for the man. Mary said, I'm going to do something for the man. Joanna said, I'm going to do something for the man. And probably Joanna's husband allowed her to serve the man because he could see that his wife had changed. Yeah, if Jesus cast out devils from your wife, you will be very blessed. Amen. Yes. Recently, a lady was telling me how, you know, the pastor had prayed for her and she had been delivered from evil spirits. And you know, she herself was telling me that when the evil spirits were in her, she said she used to get angry at her husband. I tell you. She said, I would go into a rage. And one person who saw her in one of those situations was telling me, she said, the husband was giving a ride to some church members after church. And the lady opened the car door. And she slammed it. The pastor who was telling me, he said, you haven't seen slamming like that. He said, I knew instantly that this lady was not herself. Something. Yeah? If you were married to somebody like that, and you began to see that, since my wife started to go to church, she seems to be settling. She seems to be becoming more and more of a normal human being that you can actually live with. Do you understand? Yeah. What is the appropriate response? Instead of putting roadblocks in her way, instead of calling her church a cult because she comes home after 11. I mean, if you live in San Jose or you live in Oakland or Antioch or something and you go to church and you close at 9 or even 9:30, what time will you get home? I mean, is a church a cult just because it closed the meeting late? Is the church the only place people go to at 10 p.m.? Come on! When people are in the club all through the night, nobody says they are in a cult. When people have gone to one of those outdoorings that happens in the night, nobody says they've gone to a cult. Why is going to church in the evening? I mean, if we have church in the afternoon, who will come? Yeah. Do you know, tomorrow we're going to have Easter service in the evening. Easter service is really supposed to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. But if Reverend Henry wants to experience rejected and alone, then he can try having the church at 3 p.m. tomorrow. So he can taste what Christ tasted. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall. You know, but he's smarter than that. So he's put the service in the evening. In the evening. Just because we are having an evening service, even having all night, and we are praying in the night, and we are speaking in tongues, doesn't mean that we are called. It doesn't mean you don't understand what we are doing. But you see, it is arrogance to assume that anything you don't understand is wrong. Yeah, it is arrogance to assume that if you don't understand it, it is evil. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? You have to release your family members. If you have a husband that God loves and God has gifted and God has touched his heart, God has touched his heart. I mean, I've never seen in the Bible Christ use anything that belonged to anybody and gave the thing back to the person worse. Not even a little boy's lunch. When Jesus took a little boy's lunch and used it to serve people, that little boy, if he wanted, could have gone home with one of those baskets. When Jesus took the boat that belonged to Peter and preached from it, then he finished. He said, Peter, I understand what this means. I'm not an insensitive Christ who just wants to use you to preach. I know that you do this for a living. And if I borrow it and I preach from it, I want to bless you also. I want this thing to work out for you. And he blesses him with a lot of fish. When God is interested in your spouse, it is your blessing. I mean, you and God are interested in the same person. What a blessing. It's a compliment to you. Hallelujah. That the one you like is the one God also likes. It's a compliment to you. That of all the people that God could choose, God would choose Clementine. If God would choose your husband, Harry, it should be a compliment to you. You should rather be offering him to God. That of all the men, God likes this one. The same one you like. Liked skin. The same person. Wow! God is attracted to him, or he's attracted to God, and you also like the person. It's a blessing. Instead of putting things in his way, instead of making him feel like he has sinned. Yeah, because sometimes when you go out and you come home, even the look that you see that you have sinned. Nobody has said anything, but the verse is shouting, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of this house. Yeah. You can see that there are eyes and sounds that are talking to you quietly. But it is your blessing. It is your blessing that God is interested in someone you love. Because when God uses someone to do something, have you seen a spoon that was used to fetch soup and some of the soup didn't remain on the soup, on the spoon? Anything God uses someone to do, he leaves a residue of that thing on the person. Anything God uses someone to do, he leaves a residue of whatever he did with the person, he leaves it on the person. That's why pastors get better and better and better. Yeah, it's not because they are supermen, but you see, the Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means when God is starting to work with you, you see, God is your shepherd and he's working through a man. He intends to use you to meet the needs in every area of everyone's life. When somebody has a job that complicated, that complex, and that wide, that person can't help but become a better person. You become a better person. I have become a better person since I started preaching. Oh, yes. Yeah. Unless you are not honest. But with time, you will come to know that I have improved. Many times I go to places, I'm having marriage counseling with people. And as they are talking about their problems, it's as though they are talking about me. Ah. Only that you just keep quiet. Because as the wife is complaining about her husband and saying all the terrible things, as she's saying the things, you can see that actually you and the guy, you have a lot in common. So you just quietly learn. Wow, this thing, it bothers people. It's a big problem. I need to change. Hallelujah. And those women, it says they ministered to him out of their substance. They contributed to his ministry. The appropriate response to someone who has healed you, who has delivered you from evil spirits, who has helped you, who has sustained you, is to contribute to his ministry. Is to contribute to his ministry. Not like the 10 lepers who were healed. 9 of them, they didn't come back. They were healed and they just went and that's it. Only one of them came back to say, you know, I just want to find a way of saying thank you for what you have done for me. What is the appropriate response? Hallelujah. Then one more meaning of serving the Lord is to become a shepherd. To become a shepherd. To become one of the people who look after God's people. To become one of the people who help to take care of God's people. Hallelujah. If you're going to respond to the love of God, then one of the things you must do is to aspire to become a shepherd. It must be your vision. It must be your aim to become a shepherd. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, in John chapter 21 and verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, this is after eating with Jesus, hallelujah. Because here is the thing. When you come to the Lord, you will find that whatever you are hungry for, and whatever you are thirsty for, Christ seems to have a way of satisfying you and quenching that thirst. Do you see what I'm saying? Then after that, what? After Christ has met your needs, then what? After that, what? Hallelujah. After Christ has answered your prayer, you see, when you want something, sometimes that thing can be on your mind so much that you don't see anything else. Do you see what I'm saying? See, when, for example, you're an immigrant, one of the main challenges for an immigrant anywhere, not just in America, is how to live in the place, you know, established. Do you understand? The thing we call papers. Do you get it? It's not just sheets of paper. do you get it? But we're talking about stability. Do you see? How to settle, how to have documents, how to be able to survive in the place and just do honest work. You're not trying to be a thief or an armed robber or anything like that. You just want to work like anybody else. You want an opportunity to use your skills to benefit the society and to do it in a legal way. That's all you are looking for. Do you see what I'm saying? And sometimes, you see, because when you are not stable, then you are falling. Do you see what I'm saying? And that can be on your mind and can take over your whole life. So much, you'll be consumed by it so much. But eventually you will find that the Lord does come through for you. Hallelujah. And I see God coming through for anyone who has such a problem in the name of Jesus. Receive your documents in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, when you find yourself in that situation and the Lord heals you and solves that problem for you, after that what? Because you see, some of you have been there before. Do you understand? And it looked like such a big problem, it will never be overcome. But today you are standing with this problem way behind you, isn't it? Yeah, you can't even believe it. Some of you have even gone on to become citizens. I mean, when they say Americans, you are included. Osama bin Laden wants you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when you are on this side of it, it looks like it's everything. But when you get to the other side, when the Lord has blessed you and the Lord has helped you to cross over this big thing, then what? After that, what are you going to do? Do you see? So Jesus provided food for them. These guys had gone all night to go and catch fish. And then when they came to the shore, they found out Jesus was there. And what they had been looking for, Jesus had brought some of it and had grilled it waiting for them. So he gave them some of the food to eat. Then when they had dined, Jesus said, now what you were looking for, you've got it, isn't it? Whether it's the one I gave you or the one you brought yourself, you've got it. Do you understand? So now, he said, now for a higher conversation. So he picks up the guy, Simon, and he says, Simon, do you love me more than a green card? Because you were looking for a green card, you know, you've got it now. You were looking for a husband, you've got it now. You were looking for a baby, you've got it now. You even had two boys, you said, girl, now you have it. Yeah, some people, their main problem is a girl. I need to have a girl. They have two boys and they must have a girl. Yeah. Or they have two girls and they must have a boy called Jojo. So they are trying and working hard and their whole orientation in life is just to get this one. But you see, a day is going to come, you're going to have what you're looking for. As you continue to serve God, there is a place in Him. He just, you see, He satisfies. That's what he does. Hallelujah. He satisfies. Whatever you are thirsty for, you will find that in Christ, one day, that thirst will be quenched. You will see that whatever you are looking for now, you have it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say, I want to wake up in the morning with my husband on my side. You see, he'll be lying there. You will be telling him, wake up, wake up. Yeah. Say, I pray that you come and lie here, but not forever. It's 9 o'clock. Get up and go to work. You will see that the Lord has quenched your thirst. When you have a problem, its impact on your life is often exaggerated. It looks more important than it really is. But it is because you haven't found a solution. It's like when you're hungry or when you're thirsty, you think that, you know, when you get food, you're going to eat a bucket full of it. Isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes when we go to a restaurant, we order according to how we are feeling. Yeah. Say, can you give me some of this and some of this? Then the waiter is going to say, excuse me, come back. Can you add 3 more fried rice? And then add 2 more of this. You see, the whole table is full of food. Then you start to eat. Then you realize that really, you could only eat a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying? Your hunger makes you exaggerate what it takes to meet the need. And when you have a problem, it makes you sort of exaggerate what it takes. But most of us are just one little miracle away. One little miracle away. You say you are looking for a job. You are just only one person away. One person who says, yes, I think we should hire you. And that's it. You won't even believe that in just one stroke of someone's pen, your destiny and your life has changed so much. But after that, then Christ was asking this guy, now that you've got what you were looking for, you people were hungry, you were all over the place looking for fish. You've got the fish. We've eaten. It's over. Then he asked him, is there anything in you for me that is higher than fish? He said, do you have anything in you for me that is higher than what you've been looking for? And Jesus posed the question after they had eaten. Now you've eaten. What else are you going to live for? The fish you were looking for, you found it. So what are you going to live for? So he asked him, do you love me more than these? Then he said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then he said, you know, if you want to take things higher than fish and green card and husband and baby girl and baby boy, if you want to take things higher than that with me, the next thing to do is to feed my lambs. Hallelujah. He said, become a feeder of my lambs. The next verse 16. He said unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. If you love me, it's not fish. If you love me, feed my sheep. Then he goes to the next verse. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. He said, the appropriate way to respond to me, after I have given you what you were thirsty for, the appropriate way to respond to me, to say thank you, just feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Feed my sheep. What do you call the guy who makes food and feeds the sheep? What is his name? A shepherd. So he was saying to him that if you love me, become a shepherd. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you love me, Leslie, he said, if you love me, become a shepherd. Become a shepherd. That is all. Become one of those who feeds the people of God. He said, the way to pay tribute to my blood that was shed for you is to become a shepherd. You know, go back to that Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Tiffany, give us Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 again. We're just going to close in a short time. But I just want you to see. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To do what? To feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. He said the way to pay tribute to what he did for us, the shedding of the blood, the appropriate way to respond to the shedding of the blood is to become one of the feeders of the church, to have oversight over a few of God's children, to have a few people who owe their Christianity and who owe their faith in God to you. To have some people who look at you and say, because of you, they will not backslide. Some people who look at you and they see you and they feel happy and they have hope that they will make it to heaven. People who look at you and they're encouraged because your life encourages them so much. He said, oversee their lives. Oversee their lives. That means check on them. Every one of us must have some people in the church whose Christian lives you oversee. Check on them. Check on them. When you're overseeing someone, you check on them. Sometimes you check into a hotel with someone. You're all trying to get ready in the morning to go somewhere at 7 o'clock. When you wake up at 6:30, you don't just wake up and you just dress up yourself, you know, and just think about you. That's not how we do it. But you wake up and you check on the other person. See, is he also up? Because you know that in the end, if you're going to go in the same car, then it helps that both of you are ready on time. Because if you get ready and he's not, you're not going anywhere. So you check on the other person. If we had more people checking on each other, we've come to a convention. We look around. This person is not here. This person is not here. This person is not here. Who is the one who is going to go call them after church and say that we missed you at service tonight? We were expecting you. You didn't come. Is everything well? Is everything okay with you? Are you sure? What is happening to you? Should I pick you up on Sunday? Do you have a ride? Is your car still working? Are you still working? What is going on with you? Who is the one that is checking on others, taking oversight over their lives? What you find sometimes is that we've taken oversight over people in the wrong way. We are meddling in other business that has nothing to do with you. Hallelujah. But God is looking for people who he says the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God, that means to be able to share something with them. To feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. Say, but Pastor, how am I going to feed them? Because I don't know any Bible verses. Whatever you have learned, that's what you feed. Whatever you have learned. And by the way, who says that just because I'm feeding something to someone means I cooked it? Those of you, where are the mothers? Where are the mothers? Raise up your hand. Clementine, do you always cook everything your children eat? Did you cook the milk that the baby is eating? Yeah. But your job is to feed. A feeder is not the same as a great cook. Sometimes you see our mothers would order pizza. They didn't cook it, but they fed it to us. What the instruction is to feed. He said, feed the church. He didn't say cook for them. So if you can't cook, it's not a problem. If you don't know any Bible verses, it's not a problem. But in our church, we are blessed to have so many books which represent different kinds of feed. We have so many sermons and messages that have been prepared that you can take and share with someone, and that person will be blessed. You have actually fed the person even though you didn't cook it. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know anybody who has been thanking Domino's because someone ordered pizza for them. When you order pizza from Domino's and it comes and I eat it and I'm blessed, I'm grateful to you, not to Domino's. I'm grateful to you. I feel so blessed by you. I feel like you love me. I feel like you care for me. And it's even obvious to me that you didn't make the pizza, but I don't really care about that. So long as what you have meets my need, I get so blessed by it. Many of us can become feeders. Hallelujah. If you were to take a little book, How to Have 100% Answered Prayer, and gather just a few of God's children and say to them, this Thursday, I want to share with you how to have 100% answered prayer. I am sure that most people would like to have 100% answered prayer. Even you, the teacher, you would like to have 100% answered prayer. And you start to share with them. You start to just open the scriptures with them and just share the verses and the points. And you are sharing with them. Oh, their lives will be so blessed. So blessed. So blessed. The appropriate response is to become a feeder. Jesus told Peter, you know, you say you like food and chicken and fish and all these things. Now you've eaten the fish. You've got what you want. What next? He said, if you love me, it's not in the fish. If you love me, do this one thing for me. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. Everyone has what means or constitutes love to them, depending on what they like. Do you see what I'm saying? If you have a cat and you love the cat so much that you give him a bone, I don't think the cat is going to be happy with you. That bone is an expression of love, but towards a different animal. Do you see what I'm saying? Everyone has what constitutes love to them. Some people like you to buy them flowers. Some people like you to buy them cards. Some people want you to call them every day. Some people want you to have their photo on your homepage on your phone. Take your phone like this. Say Windows. No, put my face. I want my face to be on your phone. Then it means you love me. Different people have different ways that they feel love. Jesus said, the way I feel that you love me is when I see you sharing with somebody. When you are feeding some of these people that I purchased with my own blood. Do you understand? When you make my death make sense. Do you understand? Because the people that were purchased by that blood are being taken care of by you. That makes me feel like you really love me. Hallelujah. This Easter, I want you to make a commitment to become a servant of God, to become one of the feeders of God's people. You need to start looking for some of the feed. Go to your pastor and say, how can I be one of the feeders of God's people? Say, give me two or three of the sheep in the church. Let me take oversight over them. He said, point out two or three people to me. I want to be responsible for them. That means I'll make sure they are here. I'll make sure they join the prayer meetings. I'll make sure it is well with them. You, pastor, you leave them to me. Leave these two people to me. We will all go to heaven as long as those two people are under my care. Yeah. That's what we need. That's what we need. Hallelujah. Let me share one last passage with you and we close. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. Is this helping somebody? Yes. Derek, is this helping you? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. It says, the elders which are among you. Have you seen that verse? The elders which are among you. Now, when someone is an elder, we often think that it means the person has been ordained in the church. The person is sitting on the front row. You see, like the way Harry and Akwesi and Leslie, then they look more like the elders among you. So then it means this verse is for this front row. So if you are not sitting here, they are not talking to you. But an elder is simply someone who came before another. Isn't it? Yeah. So anytime you are talking about elders, you are, so when you say elder brother, when you refer to someone as your elder brother, does it mean he's been anointed in a church? He's not anointed in the church to lead anybody. He just came before you. That's all. Elder sister, it means she came before you. So you see Simon in the church. He's an elder. Since his sister joined the family, he became promoted. Yeah. He's the one that's going to show her all the tricks. He's going to show her, you know, when you want food, you go to mommy. When you're doing something naughty and you see this one coming, run. Simon is going to show Sadie. It's, the name is Sadie, right? Yeah. What? Sadie Janelle, right? Yeah. He's going to show her all the tricks around the house because she came to meet him. Even how to talk, she's going to learn it from him. These people, their language is too complex. So if she wants to learn how to talk, listening to her mother and her father, it's going to be complex, especially when they change to their other language. It's going to be complex. So if Sadie Janelle wants to talk, do you understand? The shortest cut for her to talking is copying the elder. Do you understand? That is why second borns tend to speak faster than the first one. Because the first one has to deal with the complex language. They have to break down the parents' language. Do you understand? When the parents are Africans, they have another language always. Yeah. Which they use when they are really serious. They speak English when they are casual, when they are relaxed. But when they are really serious, the language changes. Even to the little child, when the child is doing something, they'll just say, hey! You see, and suddenly the little child starts to hear a language he has never seen on Barney or any of those. He can't figure it out. But if you learn from your older brother, just the elder, he's usually just one step ahead of you. Usually just about 2 years older than you. His teeth have not finished coming and you also have two. Do you see what I'm saying? It's so much easier to learn from that person. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in the church also there are elders. That means there are some people who came before others. There are some people who have been in the Lord longer than others. There are some people who have been around longer than others. And once someone has come after you, you are elder to that person. And so the Bible says, the elders among you, who am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. Do you see? We are talking again about the sufferings. Because when we start to talk about the sufferings, you can't help but talk about the implications for the people who have benefited from the sufferings. So he said, I'm also a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And then verse 2. He said, feed the flock of God. The elders must feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight. Hallelujah. Not by constraint. Not because someone is making you do it. But willingly. And not for filthy lucre. That means not because someone is going to give you something. Are you getting what I'm saying? Someone is going to give you something, including praises. Because sometimes when we don't clap for people who work in the church, they stop. They stop. That's how you know why you were doing it all along. By looking at what made you stop. If you look at what made you stop, see, we all have been coming to the church. We all have been arranging the things. When the pastor stands up to speak, he only mentions Tiffany and Sheila. This Tiffany and Sheila, they are more recent people who just came. But before they came, we were here. We are the ones who have been carrying these things. And they're, okay, now I will not carry anything anymore. Yeah. Say, Sheila, she's strong. She should carry the things. Say, Sheila, she is the one who is macho. Okay, she should carry the things. You see, a big guy like him, he will not carry anything anymore. Because the pastor was praising Sheila and forgot to mention his name. You're doing it for filthy lucre. You're doing it for the praises of men. Yeah. So why are you wearing your nice blue uniform? Because someone said you look good in blue. So that's why you're wearing the uniform. Some people sing in the choir because they feel that it's their best chance to be seen. Yeah. Yeah. So you see, man, I mean, every Sunday, I mean, they make sure they get it going. Tight. Because they know the brothers don't do well. If you're looking for somebody who loves you, look my way. Look my way. Oh, Jesus. Look my way. Look my way. Because you're doing it for a wrong reason. But do it of a ready mind. Do you see? And then the next verse. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage. He says, don't be bosses over God's people. Don't force anybody to do anything. Hallelujah. But, he says, but being examples. See, that's what Sadie needs from Simon. An example. Do you understand? You tell me, if we were going somewhere, which would you prefer? I just give you the address and give you the directions and I say, find your way there. Or I say, follow me. Which one do you prefer? Exactly. Do you understand? Look, we all have copies of the Bible. So if it was a matter of owning copies of what we are supposed to do, we all have it. What we are looking for is an example. We want someone who has lived what is written. That's what everybody is looking for. We're all looking for someone we can follow. And people are looking for someone who will model what God is expecting of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People are looking for someone who will give us by their lives an example of what God is expecting. And all of us can be an example. I said all of us can be an example.